I will tell you the one experience that sticks in my mind the hardest. I hurt myself, whatever moment it was. Scared the Christmas out of the dog, scared the Christmas out of Debbie, hell, scared the Thanksgiving out of both of them, got scared Halloween back out of them retrospectively because I saw that counter go from 254 to 274, and I just about jumped straight up in bed, and that means that once I got up there, my right leg doesn't hold me, so down I went in bed.
Ouch.
And it hurt, but Ouch. You know what's not going to hurt? You know what's not going to hurt? This edition of Political QRM. Happy day after the election, America.
We did it. We did it. All of the arguing, all of the people that came out and that came to those rallies, they went and they voted. They voted.
Jin done.
Yeah, exactly. But I will tell you, I worked the polling place. I was one of the poll officials in my town. And by the end of the day, I did letters with a Democrat counterpart. Okay, guys, let me just tell you, I am running on maybe 2.5, possibly 3 hours of sleep. Okay, so if I cannot grasp a word or something, bear with me. Lou will hit me in the head and it'll pop out. but anyway, so
I was on the record.
What?
Put the needle on the record.
Yeah, exactly. I worked letters A through D, and we had at least, just in those letters, about 40 to 45 same-day registrations. That's just in mine, okay? That's just in those letters. Don't forget, I only live in a town that has like 5,600 people in it. Okay, so it was magnificent. The people that came in, a lot of them that did register or came in to vote, they were working people. They worked with their hands. I saw what they wore. They were either covered in paint, dirt, grease, everything. A lot of
with a name on a shirt type, you know.
You betcha. That's who it was. I mean, some of these guys, their hair.
No six pack.
Their hair had no. These are the real working people. Mm-hmm. And they came in and they. I mean, some guys had dirt on their faces because I knew they were with my landscaper, and that sounds very no. But anyway, they came in and they registered to vote, or they came in and they voted. That's what the majority of those votes were. The people who work for a living. And they're sick and tired of being kicked around by the Democratic Party. They're the ones, the coal miners, the oil workers. Those are the ones that have been...
The steel
workers. Those are the ones that have been getting kicked. And they came out.
Well, I got to tell you, because I just saw a thing on, I don't remember if it was Channel 8 or something else over here in Maine, that the Secretary of State believes that we are doggone close to either achieving a new record... Or at the very least, you know, tying the old record for here in Maine. And that's with, I think it was 87% of the precincts counted.
Wow.
I don't remember what the actual number is, but we're getting there. And somebody else said the same thing. Oh, the one girl on Channel 8, her name is Tracy, and she's originally from Pittsburgh. And she said that, you know, she's hearing back that these people are lining up. Mm-hmm. And we had this same thing here. Lewiston ran out of ballots.
Mm-hmm. We were running out. I was constantly going back, seeing how many people needed ballots, because we had four stations. When we got there at 7:30, right, I turned around at 7:35 because we were still setting up. And there was a woman standing there, and I looked at her and I said, are you here to vote? She says, yes. I said, you realize you're first in line? She says, yes. By the time 8 o'clock came, the hallway was filled. It's about a 25-foot hallway. Mm-hmm. And it went out into the parking lot of our local VFW. I believe we have 32 or 3,500 people on the rolls, and last night 2,868 voted. But that is also including new registrants. Some of the absentee ballots hadn't been counted yet when
well,
I left.
Well, did that include the cemetery next to it?
No. We don't, it's really hard to do that here, I'll be honest with you. It really is hard to do it in my town. Because a lot of people know a lot of people. I mean, you know, I mean, everybody, I mean, a lot of them that came in, you're just like, oh, yeah, I know you. You're so-and-so's son. And these people were registering for the first time. Or parents were bringing their kids in to register for the first time.
Good for them.
Yes. You know, they're 18. Bingo. One guy came in, and my Democratic counterpart would say, is this your first time voting? And, you know, someone would go, yeah. So she explained the ballot to him. One guy looked at her, you know, mud all over him and everything, and said, I'm only interested in voting for president. Let's take a guess who he voted for. I can say with a little bit of confidence he probably voted for Donald J. Trump.
Well, you know something? I got to tell you, I'm very happy with the fact that the turnout was as massive as it was. Because without that turnout, we'd be singing an entirely different song right now.
Exactly. I was scared last night.
I got to say, though, I, you know, when you want to talk about experiences at the polls, let me explain something. And I posted this on social media. Debbie and I went. It was roughly 1,100 hours. You know, when we only had – it's not that far away. It's a couple of miles. But, you know, we still have to pack my chair in the car, go over there. Went in. And she rolls me in, and somebody held the door very nicely. Great. Okay, fine. We get there. I found out I cut in the line.
Oh, no.
She's wheeling me along and didn't realize that there was a couple of people standing there backed away, you know, essentially to let me in. But they were in line and I didn't realize that. And I was like, oh, my God, no, come on. No. Put me back. You know, I don't, you know.
I know.
Just because I'm crippled doesn't mean I got, this ain't Disney.
That's
you know,
right.
I don't have, you know, I don't get to jump the line.
Jump the
line. Everybody was fine with it. Everybody was fine with it. Until I started to take more time than everybody else. And then I spent the rest of the day with that Harry Belafonte song. I'm jumping in the line, set your body in. Okay, I believe, you know. The thing was, and this is where it got, this is where I apologize to these people the second time. Because I voted in that place already three times. I'm not in the book.
Yeah, that's voter suppression in my book. I'm sorry, that is.
That Debbie's voted there three times. She's not in the book.
You know what I would do? Do you have certain times during the year where you have the poll people to update the books and everything like that? Because we do here. We have a thing called, I'm not kidding. This phrase sounds so Orwellian. It's called Supervisors of the Checklist.
Okay.
Seriously. And that's our voter list. And they're called supervisors.
Chancellor of the
it's hysterical.
Lord High Chancellor.
Yeah, yes, that's what it is. They have like, it's called, you know, basically they have everything's open for one night and you can come in and you can change your registration to whatever, you know? I don't know. Do you guys have anything like that? You should check because you might.
Not that I'm aware of. We might. And maybe because I see some of my political contacts actually are on Skype right now, and if they want to buzz in, they can.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll tell you, though, this.
What?
When I got there, and they said, okay, you have to go around to, and I forget her name, nice lady, I've seen her before. And I went around, and she pulled out the various forms and stuff and asked, you know. And I saw the election judge sitting there. And he needed something to do, you know. I mean, he's just sitting there. So I waved him over, and he came over and said, what can I help you? I said, yes. I said, they don't have mine or my wife's name in the book.
Mm-hmm.
No. I said, no. I said, however, we both have, you know, she's got a driver's license, you know. And I've got my main state ID. And, you know, social security cards and, you know, all this kind of stuff. And I said, I am asking you to notice that I am voluntarily handing up a photo ID and two other forms of ID, and I do solemnly swear that not only am I a citizen of the United States over 18 years of age.
just a tad, right?
You know, and I am a resident of this town. Mm-hmm. You know, he says, I know. He said, I used to see your wife all the time when she worked at hardware store. I said, yeah. So you know that we live in town. Yeah. I said, okay. Then you know that for whatever reason they don't have us in the book, I am here filling out this registration again. Man. I said, because they took the data off the registration form that I take with me when I vote, but had to go through it again anyhow.
Jeez. That's ridiculous. Now, granted,
I'm all right with that, because now I have two copies of that form.
Granted, I will tell you, that happened at my polling place for whatever reason. Sometimes when they refresh the whole list, we may have one or two people, because we do refresh it for you know, people who have passed. And that's another thing that happened. We had three or four people that came in and said, is so-and-so's name there? Yeah. And, you know, my husband, I said, we'd say, yeah. She goes, well, he died a year ago. So, okay. So, you know, but I mean, people were volunteering this, you know.
That's great.
This is the way we are here. I swear to God. And I'll be honest with you. We had a blast. It was fun. And it was so crowded. It was amazing what it turned out to be in my little town. I mean, just people came out of the woodwork. I was so proud.
I would think that if I were a parent and my kid had turned 18, you know, I don't know what your time limit. You still have same day registration there.
Yes, that's what we did. That's what a lot of them did yesterday.
But
yes.
I think.
And the thing is
if my kid had turned 18, mm-hmm. you know, let's just say, you know, I don't know. Let's just say July. And we got to the polling place in November, and I found out that he, she, it hadn't registered yet. I'd be taking that kid to the polling place by the ear.
You know,
and say, don't even worry about it. I've even got a pen. You got no complaint.
Well, I'll tell you, schools were closed here. So any kid that was a senior in high school and who turned 18, mm-hmm. you know, within the past few months, was at the polling place with mother or whatever. And as a matter of fact, friend of mine brought her grandson in, who she said she was so proud of him because he is becoming very politically active. And my friend's a Republican, I will say that. And you can bet your bottom dollar that's how she's going to make sure her grandson
goes. Back before the election for Nixon. Mm-hmm. I don't remember how many weeks, months, or whatever it was in front of the general election, or actually I think it was before the primary, in the quad at my high school, the League of Women Voters had a table and said, are you registered to vote? And I said, no. And she said, are you 18? And I said, no. You know, I mean, because I joined the Army at 17.
Right.
You know, but when I was in the Army and I turned 18, mm-hmm. I went straight down to the provost marshal's office and they guided me to which office, whatever, so I could register to vote instantaneously. I was there,
excellent.
You know, and but I found it awesome that before that, you know, in high school, that the League of Women Voters, because in New Jersey, that's who handles that kind of thing,
mm-hmm.
actually had a table set up. Man, we're talking 1967, you know.
No, actually, in New Jersey, we used to have voter drives, too. Seriously, when I was a kid. And that was about 67. I was a child then. And
The idea, though, is the fact that I haven't seen that here, except for, you know, the mail-in, the write-in, all this other stuff I've seen online. No one has told me. And I have a couple of friends who have kids in high school, you know, old enough, I think. If they're not 18, they're close enough to be able to say, well, yeah, I did see, you know, the League of Women Voters. I did see, you know, the DNC, the RNC, whatever, hustling for votes and stuff. Okay. You know, but I haven't heard of any of that. And that's disappointing. But yeah, yeah, if I had a kid who was 18, I'd make sure that A, he went to, you know, the post office and filled out the form for Selective Service. And which, by the way, now women have to do, or will in January. Hmm. And B, fill out a voter ID card.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Yeah. You know, but we did have a phenomenal turnout. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal turnout. And I was just so impressed. They had the sign up saying no politicking beyond this point, you know.
Oh, I got a few stories about that.
But, you know, hey.
Yeah.
You know, everybody up here, I don't know how many people are in our town, but enough of them, certainly enough of them, and we're Lake Region, which, you know, we're not quite rural mm-hmm. where we live, but we're very suburban. Mm-hmm. And I know we definitely did not vote for question three, which is the expanded background checks.
And how did that fare?
It failed. It failed. We had no problem, you know, and I mean like not 2-1, but not 1-1. Kind of, it was somewhere in between, you know, kind of a thing, but it failed. Everything else passed. You know, we now can, you know, go out and get high on, you know, for fun. You know, and we raised the minimum wage, which means that the younger people can afford to go out and buy dope to have it for fun.
Mm-hmm. So they're going to steal in order to, yeah.
Okay. Whatever.
Well, we'll see. Here in New Hampshire, the Republican, Chris Sununu, won for governor.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing compared to...
That's an excellent thing. Because...
Is it?
Because the other guy running was Colin Van Ostern, who owns Stonyfield. Don't get me wrong. I love the yogurt, and I buy the yogurt. I buy the drinks. Good product.
We'll make our own, yeah.
Yeah, but... didn't want him as governor, and he would expand Obamacare. He wanted to increase the number of Syrian refugees, quote unquote. And, you know, he was a disaster. Chris Sununu at first was losing and then picked up momentum and did win. The big race, Maggie Hassan against Kelly Ayotte, is too close.
Yeah, well, she's the one that was governor, right?
Yes, Maggie Hassan was governor. And now she's running for Kelly Ayotte's seat. It is 48%. It is too close to call. Supposedly Maggie Hassan has like maybe 500 more votes or something. I'm looking right here. And yet Maggie Hassan has the audacity to declare victory. Now, I believe it's 1,100 votes. It has to go into, if it's 1,100 votes, or maybe it's 1,000, it has to go into a recount. So Maggie Hassan to do that, and Kelly Ayotte is not conceding, and that is good. I do.
Well, you have a mandatory recount then.
We should. I am not sure whether or not we do, but you know, it is too close to call. Nobody else has called it. I mean, WWR.
Well, I saw earlier. I think it was about 11, maybe 11:30. Mm-hmm. I saw that the New York Times had.
Jeez.
Kelly Ayotte winning.
Yeah, she was doing well, and then all of a sudden, you know.
No, it was close.
Yeah.
Well, we had a similar thing with Bruce Pollack went up here.
Uh-huh.
In Congressional District 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a wicked, probably the most expensive congressional district race in the nation.
Mm-hmm.
And it was important in the fact that because Maine is the only other state besides Nebraska that splits our electoral votes by congressional district.
That's very interesting. Yeah. Hmm.
And I found it amusing. I was watching Fox and I saw Brett Baer and I saw what the heck's the kid's name? Shoot,
Tucker
I always
Carlson.
No, it wasn't Tucker. It was the other. My goodness, he's on Weekend Mornings and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about, and I can't remember his name.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, and they were doing analyticals with one of those interactive big screen map things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking at this map. Now, mind you, it's tiny on a screen, you know?
Right.
But Maine, it's this big red blob.
I know.
With a blue little crescent down in the corner.
And that's where you live, right?
Yeah, of course, that's where I live. I live in Shelley Pingree's neighborhood. I voted for Dr. Holbrooke, but he didn't pull it out. Shelley Pingree goes to her fifth term.
Everybody which here I think should, lost.
Which I think should be wrong, yeah. Fifth term.
I know.
But, you know, when we look at the fact that, you know, this entire vast landmass of Maine mm-hmm. is red, and there's that little crescent of blue. Mm-hmm. People who say we should do away with the Electoral College should look at exactly that image.
Yeah. But then don't forget, once you get up north in Maine, there's more moose than people.
Well, granted, but that's the point. That's one of the reasons why we split our electoral vote by congressional district, because otherwise Portland mm-hmm. could decide the president or anything else mm-hmm. for the entire state.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, granted, the vast majority of people are from, you know, exit 1, you know, up to exit 11. I get that, you know, but that doesn't mean that the votes in you know, up the county shouldn't matter. And it's just, so, as I said, you know, anybody who believes we should be doing away with the Electoral College should, if they want to look at one image to change their mind, that's the image.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't had a chance yet. I wanted to, and it just came up. I just saw it come up a few minutes ago. The Collins and King reactions, you know, the two, the Democrat and the, whatever the hell Angus King is, he's somewhere below Democrat or to the left of Democrat. you know, and, you know, of course, Collins, there's no love lost there for me.
Right.
I haven't had a chance to see what their reactions were because they just got put up. I'd be curious to see what their reactions are because we voted, as I said, we voted against the background checks. We voted for the expanded minimum wage, and we voted for the tax on personal incomes above $200,000 because Mainers and look, I've been here a long time, you know, now 13, almost 14 years.
Right.
Mainers never met a bond issue they didn't like.
Jeez.
And the problem is that people don't understand that minimum wage increases are job killers. Mm-hmm. And the people who would be hiring at this expanded minimum wage are largely small business owners who pay their taxes based on their personal tax, which means they may have an income of above $200,000 and still live in a shoe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I know.
So they talk about they want to attract people because we've got a shortage of people who can do jobs, and we want to attract jobs, and we want to... And every time they get the opportunity, they shoot jobs in the butt.
Right.
And I just don't get it.
I know.
And then we had, you know, we have protest in the middle of the night. We had protests in Oakland, California, because Donald Trump won the election.
Wait.
I want to bridge that, Amory. I do. I want to bridge that because you made a statement earlier and I made a statement earlier. And I think we don't see eye to eye on this.
Okay. Go ahead.
President-elect Trump last night said that the time has come for us to bind the wounds and heal our nation.
Sure, I agree.
All right.
Go ahead.
I don't believe that running protests and setting stuff on fire is the way to accomplish that. Now, I know that you didn't feel that, magnanimous in victory?
No. No, I'm not going to. Gracious? Gracious winner ain't happening. No, it is not happening as far as I am concerned. Because you know what happened? We were gracious when the whole thing with George Bush twice and everything, and then, you know, Bill Clinton, you know, I never said anything. Oh, it's nice, you know, and Obama and everything, and basically we were told we won, shut up, and we still didn't say anything, okay? And now, right. For the past 8 years, we
Well, we said something last night.
Yeah, well, yeah. Well, the thing is that for the past 8 years, Americans have been treated as the ugly stepchild in this quote-unquote family that Obama keeps talking about in Hillary's village. Real Americans, people who believe in the American dream and everything.
And now we got Brexit, too.
What?
Now we've got Brexit, too.
Exactly. But what I'm saying is that, you know, on Twitter today, I came out swinging and so did a lot of other people. And no, I am not going to be a gracious winner. No, we won and just go leave. If you want to leave this country, leave. No, I'm tired. I'm tired of it. You know, I'm tired of being gracious because no, the reason why is that if you're gracious with these people, to them, that's an open invitation to keep kicking you. That's an open invitation that shows that you are weak. That's what this is all about. So I'm not being gracious. We won. We won fair and square. We did not use voter fraud. The Hillary campaign, oh, darn it. I'll tell you, some of the stuff that was going on in Florida and some of the other states with voting machines. Don't tell me that, you know, there wasn't some vote of fraud. So,
you mean the ones that Soros owns?
Yes, exactly. But, you know, the thing is, no, I am not going to be gracious about it. We won, damn it. And if that so offends you, don't destroy my country. Just leave.
Well, are Rosie and the other actresses and stuff, are they packing?
I don't know, but I have a short list here of people who said that they don't want to stay. Okay, there's this, okay, it says here, Bryan Cranston, he's an actor in Breaking Bad. He said he would definitely move. Actress Samuel Jackson said, if that mother F becomes president, I'm moving my black ass to South Africa. Be my guest, Mr. Jackson. And then Lena Dunham is going to Canada. Nev Campbell, she's already a Canadian citizen, has promised to repatriate herself. Good. Cher is moving to Jupiter. That should be interesting. Miley Cyrus, she is moving.
I hope she doesn't expect Sonny to visit her there.
Streisand, I'm either coming to your country if you let me in, or Canada. I mean, a whole bunch of people. Chelsea Handler, Amy Schumer, Jon Stewart, Whoopi Goldberg. Go, 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 go. Please, Al Sharpton. George Stephanopoulos and his wife are going to be moving to Australia, in which I cannot believe this woman says this. She says, we're moving to Australia. It has no crime, no guns. I cannot believe the stupidity of that woman, Allie Wentworth. I mean, my God, people, you know, so leave, okay? We have given you the opportunity to leave. Let's see how many of you are going to keep your word. I figure not many. I figure that...
they've been saying this. They've been saying this.
Yes, I know. Which proves just how empty their promises and their things are. But you know what? If they want somebody to wave at the airport, I'll certainly go, you know?
As long as it's Portland, I don't want to go flying all over the country.
I know. It's just, you know, like, so leave. And, you know, it to me, the fact that everything that Americans worked for their families and to strengthen this country has been systematically taken away by this government and given to illegal immigrants, given to these people who they call refugees but are nothing but invaders. Everything. Oh. And yet
gonna,
our veterans are on... No.
I'm going to point to...
I'm telling them, no more. We won. The gravy train stops.
I'm going to go back to President-elect Trump on this.
What?
When he says that, you know, last night in his speech after Hillary...
No, wait a minute. If he wants to be president of everybody, I have no problem with that. No problem. Because he is president of all of us. He will be.
Well, that's not where I was going. But
okay, but no, but anyway, but you know what? For the time being, it's called Schadenfreude, you know? I'm exalting at your pain. Sorry. It's about time. I've been in pain for the past 8 years. And we almost
longer than that.
Very funny. And we
longer than that.
Well, that's true, but we almost lost this country, and now I see a chance. for this country to, as Donald Trump, you know, says, become great again. So there you go. I'm sorry.
I
so go ahead.
Back on what he said last night. I mean, when he came out, he did something that, you know, we wouldn't have heard from the other side. I'm sorry. Anybody can argue this with me all they want, but I'm telling you, you would not have heard this from the other side. He went on about certain things, like the Secret Service.
Oh, yes.
You know, why didn't she come out last night? Because she was busy in the back room throwing chairs at Secret Service agents.
That's probably, yeah.
You know, he thanked our veterans and said our veterans are going to come first.
That's right.
You know, he did this, and that's it right there in a nutshell. The working people that you saw in the polling place yesterday are going to come first. Our veterans who have lost limbs, lives, everything else, their minds are going to come first. And, you know, whether he actually, you know, brick by brick builds the wall or at least augments the Border Patrol, however he wants to handle it, fine. And, you know, that kind of stuff. But he brought this stuff to light right there in his speech. That's when he said, you know, I just heard from Secretary Clinton, and I want to thank her for her years of public service. Of course, in my mind, the next phrase he was going to say is, I hope your public service extends to making license plates. But
let me tell you something. A lot of people are saying she is probably going to hightail it out of the country. And I said that long time ago, too. And I would not put it past her. I would not put it past her. She finally gave her concession speech. I don't know how many drugs.
Where's she going to go? To the million acres she owns on Haiti?
Yeah, probably. She said that last night, and I quote, was painful, and it will be painful for a long time. And then she had the nerve to say that this was not about one person, but about the country we love. Yeah, right.
Well, the country she wanted to own. I mean, yeah, it's like, you know, like you or I walking into a house saying, gee, I love that house. I think I'd like to own it. You know,
yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
I love this country. I think I'm going to own it.
Yep. That was her attitude. I mean, everything you have to look at with double meanings when she speaks.
I want to see how many of the of her, you know, because I saw that interesting graphic the other day. It showed, you remember the most interesting man in the world with the whatever the beard that he was pushing.
Oh yeah.
And one where they had switched his face with Director Comey.
Oh really?
And it says, I don't often ignore criminal activity, but when I do, it's because I found my suicide note in Hillary's emails.
Yep.
How many people right now do you think are polishing off their, dusting off their resumes and polishing them up? Mm-hmm. You know, Loretta Lynch.
Yep.
Comey. Thank goodness. You know, and he said, he mentioned, and thank goodness he did, he mentioned the 800 generals and admirals that he had standing behind him, committed to him. You know, when he thanked the various generals that were there with him. You know what? I bet you they're polishing off their resumes because he's going to give them their old jobs back.
Mm-hmm. There, as far as cabinet positions are concerned, they have mentioned Newt Gingrich was Secretary of State. That's a possibility. And
they went in the back and woke Rudy up. He was asleep.
Really? I didn't know
that's what
that.
What it looked like, and he wasn't on stage. So they sent somebody backstage to find him. He came out looking
beat.
You know, like what happened? Oh, he won. Oh, good. You know,
he's they think he may be Attorney General, which I would love.
Oh, that would be nice.
Oh, man, I would love that. And probably Christie's going to get a cabinet position, they think.
Yeah, chairman of the
we'll see.
White House floor waxing.
Oh, leave him alone. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see. But last night was a very, and I called you last night, I got to tell people, and I was very anxious, to say
a little
least.
Stressed.
A little, yes. I think part of it was because I did work at the polls from 7:30 in the morning till 7 o'clock at night. You know, one of those, you know.
Mm.
And
road buzz. Yeah.
And, you know, by the time I got home, I'm like, oh my God, this is not looking good. What do you mean? So I'm calling Lou going, I don't know. Are you sure? I mean, I was so sure. Now I'm not sure. What's going on? And it turns out.
I told you.
I know. You were right. You were right.
I wasn't as right. I wasn't as right as I predicted. I predicted 300. You know, 299. I wouldn't go to 300. I said 299. Mm-hmm. It was a little short of that because, as I said, I'm watching that ticker and it went from 254. You know, I watched that ticker and it was like 80 to 112. And, you know, then it went up and then she went up and then he went up and then she went up. And then, you know, Florida, Michigan, Ohio, oh my God, bang, 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 bang. He went up. He was up like 60 points or 58 points or something. And then she started to creep up, and she got to 208.
Oh man, that
you know. And then she got to 212, and then she got to 215, and he was still at like 254. Mm-hmm. And then they got the call, you know, because at one point, because I mentioned I was watching Fox only because on Roku, that was the easiest one for me to watch rather than go back and forth from this computer on any other room, and you know, stuff like that.
Sure, that's what we were watching actually.
Yeah. So I had Fox up, and it was getting to the point where he had been at 254 for so long. I don't remember what time it was. Megyn Kelly actually got up from the desk and went in the back where the guys who bring the information to them were and said, what's going on?
Oh.
I want to go home. You know?
Well, you know, I kind of felt, though, at one point that the networks were kind of drawing this out as long as possible, because you know, with this election, they were all getting a bunch of ad revenues and
you know it,
everything and viewerships and everything, and you know, like last night was like, that's it, no more. So they were drawing it out as much as they could. So you know,
I don't think the networks have much say in when the precincts get reported.
Well, no, they can no, but I mean, they suppress it.
Mm.
Once it gets to the
I think we saw three things that made a significant difference in this election. First of all, suppression. Mm-hmm. Second of all, fraud.
Yeah.
And third of all, Democrat laziness.
No, I don't think it was laziness on their part. I think just the thing is that they went with their, you know, regular tactics and
expected them to work the way they always had. Yeah.
Yes. But we had people out there now who were calling them on it. Calling them on it and, you know, just saying, no more. We know who you are.
Let me clarify.
Go ahead.
About the Democrat laziness.
Okay. Then maybe I've
could you imagine, I mean, look at what Donald was doing. Mm-hmm. Three cities and two states and, you know, over and over and over for 3 full months, 4 full months. He was everywhere. He was like fly poop. He was everywhere.
I know. The man was amazing.
Right, you want to talk energetic? I mean, you know, what did he used to call Jeb? Low energy?
Low energy. Yep, that's him.
Right? That was not.
No.
President-elect Trump.
That is not.
It is not President-elect Trump.
I'll
tell you who was low energy. Who was low energy? His kid standing next to him on a podium.
Oh, poor Barron. Oh, my God. You know, the kid wanted to go to sleep. Are you kidding
me? He was exhausted. You could tell he was exhausted. He was so tired. He looked like he was going to throw up a couple of times.
I know. Poor thing. But you know what? They probably kind of dragged him out of bed. They probably said, okay, come on, you got to get out of bed, you know.
Yeah, they put him in a chair in the back and said, okay, curl up.
Yeah, they should have left him. He's so cute, though.
Yeah, 11, 12 years old. What is he?
Yeah, 11, I believe. Yeah.
But the laziness factor I was bringing light to is the fact that, could you imagine if Hillary had just demonstrated that amount of energy?
Oh, my God. Well, that's the thing. She cannot. She cannot. You know, she was flawed, not only in her, you know, health-wise, but, you know, I mean, she's a sick woman. She could not have. There was no way she could have done that.
Mm-mm. I think we're going to find out in very short order, maybe not in the next, 70 days, but in very short order, I think we're going to find out that they flew off to Geneva.
Ah. For an extended vacation.
Well, for her health, they're going to take her to some clinic in Geneva.
Yeah.
And we're going to find out exactly what was wrong with her.
Yeah.
But she's also going to be in Geneva, and there's no extradition from Geneva.
That's true.
You know,
gosh.
We're going to find out. No, look, I'm glad we won the election by you named the chart, and I'm off the scale on how, you know, happy I am.
Oh,
we won.
Do you know, for the first time in a long time, I actually feel really good about this country now. I feel that we have a chance.
Well, don't
to
pull
give
a Michelle
something.
Here.
Oh no, I'm not. Oh God, no. I mean, in a long time, because I was always very confident about this country, no matter, basically, even when Bill Clinton was president. But the damage that's been done over the past 8 years by this culturally Muslim president, and yes, indeed he is.
Again, you know, he is culturally Muslim, but it's not just the fact that he's cultural Muslim. He said, I'm going to bring fundamental change.
Change, yes, transform. A
fundamental transformation, yes. And he's been doing. You, I'll tell you something.
Yeah.
He's going to burn the ink out of the pens in his desk in a hurry now.
I know.
But
they should
limit
the amount of pardons. They really should.
I never. Yeah, because the first thing he's going to do is he's going to turn to Lynch and Comey and say, "That's it. We're done.
Yeah.
They're clear." You know, I mean, they're pardoned. Whatever it is you come up with, they're pardoned. But I think, again, I'm so happy we won, but yet I never wished ill or evil, you know, on Secretary Clinton. I never did. It's not my way.
Okay,
you know,
that's fine.
I wished evil on her campaign. I said,
well,
oh, Malloy, que gordoud on the campaign.
Look, I know, but you know what? She is an evil woman. She's a nasty woman. She
well, that's
is.
Not up to me. That's up to her God.
Yeah, I know. Well, she doesn't have a God. Oh, yes, and she also quoted from Scripture when she gave this speech. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Yeah, the devil can cite Scripture for his
yes,
purpose.
Exactly. But, you know, she has hurt so many people, okay, throughout her whole life in her climb to the top. I mean, she has climbed over literally dead bodies.
Oh, yeah.
She has. And yeah. She has destroyed lives in other ways.
The rungs in her ladder are people's bodies.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly. But the thing is that really, and I have to say, what really pleases me most is that the one thing that she wanted most of all, the American people denied her.
Mm-hmm.
That's what pleases me. Because, again, she is not a nice lady. I'm wondering, though, now the Secret Service people, you know, are they going to, you know, she barks something at them and they're going to look at her and say, oh, shut up and sit down, Grandma.
Well, that's it. You know,
can
well, no,
they do that? I would love them to do that.
I would love to catch a tape of that. But
Shut up and sit down, Grandma.
But don't forget, what between the fact that her husband was president and the fact
I
that
know. But you know what? They still don't have to.
And I think they're going to be fighting over not wanting that detail.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah.
You know, and some guy who's on Secret Service protection, you know, detail will turn around and he's been there 6 months longer than the next guy and he says, huh, you're stuck, dude. You know, you're low man. Guess what?
That's
you know?
What they do. Actually, that's what they do. I just am so pleased at the way this turned out. I feel a little bit more calm. I feel a lot calmer today than I
well,
did
what,
yesterday.
Let's go down ticket a little bit. We started too earlier.
Okay.
You've got governor now that you're not unhappy with.
No. I know Chris Sununu, actually. I've met him a few times. Nice guy. I know other elements of the family.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I think I'd rather have
him. Is he related to John Sununu?
Oh, yes. Yes,
oh,
yes,
okay.
Yes.
I just.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Yeah.
But I think one of the things that
his,
I saw.
It's his mom and dad, John
Sununu. Oh, no kidding. Oh, okay, good. Good. So that gives them a certain gravitas that probably helped.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I look at some of the down ticket stuff. As I said, we defeated the expanded background checks for firearms, which was a very important thing because as a matter of fact, a fellow came by. I fixed a laptop for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he came by to pick it up, and we were talking. Now, I knew he was a Trump supporter. There's no arguing that.
Mm-hmm.
But we were talking about such things. And I said to him, I said, here's the deal. I said, you know, he's also, you know, a registered, you know, not registered, a concealed carry. He's got a card, you know.
Right,
and,
right.
And I said to him, I said, look, I said, I know what you carry. You know what I carry.
Right.
You know, I said, if you decided, hey, you know something, Lou, you're always bragging about, you know, your EDC, you know, let me go, you know, lend it to me. I'm going to take it to the range and bust some caps. Yeah, sure. Here you go, Joe. You know, kind of thing.
Right.
And he gets pulled over. And he does what he's supposed to do. So I have a firearm.
Right.
And the trooper or whatever says, okay, where is it? Well, it's right there. I actually have another one, and it's here in my hip, my waistband. Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, are they both yours? Well, that one's my buddy's. We both go to jail.
That's true.
Oh, what do you mean it's your buddy's? Well, you know, I admired it, and I'm taking it down to the range. I'm going to blow 100 rounds through it and see if I like it. Maybe I'll buy one. Oh, well, sorry. Go to jail. Go directly to jail. Do not pass go. Pay whatever the fine is. Lose your concealed carry license.
Oh, man. And that basically was sponsored by Michael Bloomberg.
Yes, it was.
Yes, remember that.
Out-of-state money.
Mm-hmm.
Millions of dollars from out-of-state, and we just told Michael Bloomberg, go buy yourself a Pepsi. You know, go buy yourself a 64-ounce Pepsi.
go pound sand, too.
But, you know, one of the down-ticket ones that really, and I don't have the results yet because I've got you on full screen, so I don't have the results yet. Topsom, Maine, had a referendum to put a fee on plastic bags and ban styrofoam containers.
Oh, God, here we go.
And I don't know if it passed or not. But I looked at that, you know, as it went through the scroll as I was going by looking for, you know, as a matter of fact, I'm still waiting for Legislative District 68 results. But I think there's an awful lot of people in Topsom, Maine that are going to be so happy that the marijuana bill passed because now they don't have to worry about the med card they've had for the last few years. There's, you know, there's a reason they call that stuff dope.
Exactly. Oh, jeez. Yeah, no, we had no referendums here where I live. Nothing local, nothing state. Our stuff gets done usually around town meeting time in March.
Do you have initiative and referendum there, or is it just it's got to go? You've got to petition your lawmakers.
What do you mean? I mean,
the citizen initiative be put on the ballot?
Yeah. But it has to have so many something. I forget what it is. I know locally, yeah. Not statewide. It has to go through the legislature.
I was amused yesterday. Talk about polling experiences, right? So we got done, and I got my sticker, and Debbie got her sticker, you know, and she's pushing me out the hallway. And we didn't realize which hallway we had to go down. So we went down this hallway, then we had to make a left and go out the doors on the right. Okay, fine. But we're going down this hallway, and there's this young kid. I don't want to say anything mean about it, but a young kid, you know, scruffy looking. A young kid, and he had these petitions.
Right.
And the petition was to be sent to put a referendum up expanding Medicaid. Expanding health insurance to the million people in Maine who can't afford it. And I'm like, wait, there's only 1.3 million in Maine.
Really?
I'm sure most of us can't afford it. Some people obviously can, you know.
Oh, my God.
You know, so anyway, so he gave us the pitch, and we were polite. And I said, well, no, thanks. That's not a kind of a pitch. Now, at the very next table, and I'm trying to think of which civic organization it was a membership drive. And they're wearing these little cloth vests, you know, with whatever the organization was. And I'm trying to remember which one, Odd Fellows, Foresters of America, Eagles, I don't remember, Lions, Tigers, Bears, oh, my. And there's these two nice ladies, middle-aged or a little older than middle-aged, sitting there. And they're watching Debbie and I. And they're watching us being polite, you know, because, I'm sorry, it's the way I was raised.
Sure.
And they're grinning. And the one turns around and she smacks the other one. And it's like, they're watching.
Why?
I'm sitting there in a hat that says Airborne Ranger on it. You know,
sorry.
You know, and my wheelchair has NRA stickers on it. You know, I asked the lady who gave us the stickers, I wanted an extra one, and she said, well, did you vote twice? I said, no, but I did vote on both sides of the ballot. And she said, okay. And she goes, like, they're expensive, right?
Because I took the one. Oh, my God, did they really? She said that? Oh, my God.
No, she was being, she was being every bit as funny as I was. Because I got to tell you something. When you take me out in public.
I know. You're embarrassing, aren't you?
Yes, I am indeed.
Yeah, you are.
So anyway.
You're going to be one of those old men who's like, oh, God, here we go.
So I stuck one to my shirt. Mm-hmm. Right, and I happen to know the judge. I told you that the judge of the, so she handed me another one, and I happen to know who she was, you know, kind of a thing. And I go past her house on the way to the doctor. I know she was a Trump supporter. Mm-hmm. So I took the other one, and I peeled the backing off, and I stuck it to my holster.
Yeah, I saw that. Go ahead.
And they were like, oh, that's a good place for it. I see it when I'm get when I get home. I said, Debbie's going to take a picture of it, and I'll use it as my avatar mm-hmm. on social media. And they said, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to do that. I said, good. You know, so maybe now there'll be more people who do it. You know, which, yep. you know, technically, you know, I was carrying concealed, but we do have open carry, so it really doesn't much matter. Mm-hmm. You know? So I just took it, and I got my, because I wear a Kydex Phobos holster as my everyday. Mm-hmm. And I stuck it right to it, and I said, there, thank you very much. And she goes, oh, you're welcome. You know, and Debbie's pink. You know, so we get past this, and we said, oh, no, thank you. That's really not the kind of petition I'd be involved with. And the ladies start laughing. They couldn't contain it anymore. So Debbie's wheeling me by, and I wink at them, and they wink back.
Hey, listen, I got some info for you. Thompson bag fee. It passed.
I told you they were smoking that stuff down there.
52% to 48%. And the styrofoam container ban, it passed.
Great.
66 to 34.
All those poor son of a guns that are trying to run a franchise business or,
well, you know, what about those
shop.
Truck places? I mean, the little truck restaurants? Yeah. They use styrofoam. Food trucks, thank you. They use those. I mean, you know, because those are the least expensive.
Well, I think they're probably all going to have to go buy those. You remember the cups, the Yasu cups we used to get in the diners?
Yeah.
From all the Greek diners, they always had that one, Yasu, you know.
I was just like, my God, come on, folks. That's right. Yeah. So let's hurt businesses, you know. But, of course, people don't think. They don't think. But there is some other groups in America that are upset. One of them, now all of a sudden, Muslims are saying they're so afraid now. They're so afraid. There's really no need to be. Well, wait a minute. There's no need for them to be afraid. There are planes leaving every day to Muslim countries. Be my guest.
Have a nice time.
Exactly.
Don't let the cockpit door hit you.
I'm the way out. Seriously, I don't care. I do not care. Good.
I can't get. Look, I have a lot of social media that I'm on all the time. Mm-hmm. And I have some what would be considered marginalized groups. Mm-hmm. And I've been trying to, without getting too crazy nuts cuckoo, put my finger on the pulse of some of those marginalized groups to see what's going on. Now, the FBI is going to be very busy because I have already seen dozens of direct threats on President-elect Trump.
Really?
I'm
sure.
And, you know, the Black Lives Matter community and various and sundry other minority communities. I've seen, you know, issues from the LGBTQRSTUV community.
XYZ.
I've seen issues. You know, they're upset, they're hurt, they're this, they're that, they can't believe it, and all this other stuff. I've seen even some of my extended family people posting. You know, issues with they're afraid, they're frightened, they're this, they're that, they're annoyed, they're well, you know something? I see a lot of it from people who I know for a fact 6 months ago were behind Bernie.
Really? Huh.
A lot of it. And I see a bunch of it from people who were behind Johnson. I don't see a lot from Stein, but then again, what'd she get? 400 votes nationwide?
Yeah, no, Stein actually was kind of blowing the whistle on Hillary and going, you know, she's nuts, don't elect her, and, you know.
But I saw, and I've said this before, as a matter of fact, I think I wrote it and wrote an essay and put it up on the website. You know, you people who were so upset about Gary Johnson, you guys have got to do something. Don't wait now until, you know, 2020.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to proffer a third-party candidate, a viable third-party candidate, you got to start today.
Yeah, that's true.
Actually, you should have started last week. And come up with a candidate who doesn't look like he's stoned.
Oh, man, that was something else.
He's sitting there talking and sticking his tongue out and stuff, and, you know, then there's the Aleppo thing.
Oh,
you know,
man, please.
You know, look, when you say you're a libertarian, you know the first thing people think of? Oh, you like dope.
That's what I think of. Yeah, they want marijuana just to be able to be smoked all over.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you know, and that's what everybody thinks. You want to put forth a viable third-party candidate. You're not happy with Donald Trump. You weren't happy with Hillary. You either stayed home or you cast a quote-unquote protest
mm-hmm.
vote.
Yep.
Which, in some cases, thank you very much, because you did, you know, you took them away from Hillary. In some cases, it took them away from us, but it's okay. We won. I don't care now. You want to don't sit here now and say, well, you know, I went and voted for Johnson. I went and voted for Stein, you know, because both of them were crooked. This and that. No, you say, don't tell me I wasted my vote. You know what, buddy?
Guess
what?
You did.
You know.
Sorry, you did.
You know. Do you feel good about what's going on in the country right now? No. Well, then you could have changed that. So what they've got to do is they've got to put together a candidate. You know, who doesn't look like they're stoned. You know, because, I mean, a lot of people were saying they weren't voting for Johnson, they were voting for Bill Weld. Not that that was a great plan either, but, you know, look, I tried for several years back in 08 and running all the way up to the election in 12. I tried really hard to revive the old Democrat-Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the party of Adams and Madison and,
right.
and Jefferson. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, you want to talk libertarian. Boy, libertarians could learn a thing or two from the Democratic Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is the party of the founders. This is the party of the people who wrote those papers on cheapskins on what this country was going to be and how it was going to get there.
Right.
And that's the way it should run. So, look, join up with that. You know, the heck with the elephant, the heck with the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lion... rampant facing left,
mm-hmm.
of course, a lion rampant, the Democrat Republican Party, because you can't just say, oh, look, it's an election year, dude, let's find a candidate. You can't do that. And you've got to take dope off the table. You've got to start working
yeah.
now to make sure
but
people don't
But that's part
say,
of it, though. But that's part of it. That's part of their platform. That's part. No, that's one
mean,
of the reasons why they were formed.
I don't mean to take it off the table, but I mean, because if that's what they want, okay, fine. But they've got to put forth the idea that they stand for something else other than free dope.
Yeah, that's one of the main topics in their platform.
Yeah, well, you know, we're in favor of laissez-faire business. We're in favor of, you know, smaller government, less intervention. We're in favor of all these things. Oh, yeah, by the way, we do want free marijuana, not free marijuana, but, you know, we do want dope laws, you know, normal reforms or whatever they're called, you know. But, no, don't make that the talking point.
I know. That's true. No, you're right.
And start grooming a candidate that looks like they can actually say that stuff and everybody just go, dude, pass that. You know, I mean,
mm-hmm. yeah.
You got to, you know, start because now, I'm sorry, I'm happy.
Yeah.
That we had Donald Trump.
Yeah.
But when did we start? How long ago did we start hearing about Gary Johnson? Was it 4 months?
Yeah,
five?
4 or 5 months, that's about it.
The rest of us have been at this for 52 months.
Yeah. exactly. It's been ridiculous. 52 months, yeah. I don't know. So anyway,
well, that's what they said, you know.
I know. They're libertarians. It's sort of like the joke party. They really are. They're right there with the greenies. I'm sorry. You know, they're like one or two. And it's just like, to me, I have to tell you, you get these hardcore libertarians, and to me, it almost smacks of anarchy.
Almost, but not quite. Populist,
yeah.
Right?
I said, well, you know, yeah, okay, so you go populist anarchy, but still, it's like, it's pushing that dial a little bit too much for me.
A little bit. That's what I said, they got to come to ground.
Yes, no. I was validating your point, you know.
Yeah, the thing, though, is like, I mean, did they actually, I don't think combined, which is something I always predict every election, that combined, you know, the Libertarians and the Greens, because, I mean, you know, we don't want to count the rent is too damn high party, and we don't want to count Lyndon LaRouche. Yeah, no. Isn't he still running, Lyndon LaRouche?
Yeah, he's been dead for what, 8 years or something? I don't know.
Yeah, eight, 10 years.
What's that one that guy with the boot on top of his head? Oh man, I can't remember his name. I think he's from New Hampshire too. I mean, he shows up everywhere. But anyway, Barry would know it, and I can't remember.
But
I don't know.
These
thing.
People, I love these people because they detract from the left.
Yeah, they true. Yeah.
You know, the Greenies detract from the left.
Yeah, they do.
You know, the communists take away from the left. The socialists take away from the left.
Mm-hmm.
They don't take away from the right. So I'm happy with that.
Yeah. At this point in time, I am just so relieved and happy and that Donald Trump won. That he won. Because if Hillary had won, I don't know.
Well, do you think this is a genuine case, and I've heard this proffered a couple of times already, do you think this is a genuine case of a pendulum swing, or do you think that there's really more to it than that, more meat on that bone than just the pendulum?
Oh, I think it's more meat on the bone. I think a lot of Americans have seen, let's just take terrorism, have seen what's happening over in Europe, have seen what's happened here, and, you know, and how it's gotten worse and worse under Obama. Europe is being overrun, and I really think that people are saying, wait a minute, hold it, you know, we are a caring country, we help people when they have natural disasters and everything like this, but why should we put our lives and our other countrymen's lives at risk? Why should we? This is not the way it's supposed to be. And I think a lot of people have had it. And I think that this is going to stay for a while, I believe.
I hope because
Americans, I think, have been empowered. And we found our voice now. And we are not, I am not afraid of those liberals who would come to me and say, you're racist. Or because no, I am not racist, and I'm going to come back. They're not going to silence me, because
no.
I know what they're about, and so do a lot of other Americans.
Well, again, even just saying, keep my finger on the pulse of all these, you know, supposedly, you know, self-described oppressed, marginalized people.
They fancy themselves marginalized.
Well, that's it. Self-described.
The thing is that they want the power based on either their sexual proclivity or, you know, whatever. Okay, they want the power. And they expect us just to fall in line.
Well,
just,
again, you know, I look
this.
At it.
You
I
want
look
something
at it like
work
that
for it.
With the gay and lesbian community, in the fact that they sit there and they're all tolerant. And they put all these flyers up around the college campuses that you can't say the word Islamic terrorism because it's a microaggression or some such thing.
And you know
something? Yet 50 of them got slaughtered in a nightclub in Miami.
Yeah, let me tell you something. I want that term microaggression to be thrown out the window. I don't want to hear it anymore from any of you liberals. There is no such thing. There is no such thing as a microaggression. It only exists in your mind.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't care if they use the term microaggression, as long as all it gets is a micro response.
Very good. Touche. Yes.
You know, microaggression does not deserve a macro response.
That's right. That's true.
You know, kind of a thing. But I mean, they're behind all this. This is not even a dichotomy. This is an actual flaw in the logic. Mm-hmm. And this is why I'm very concerned. We're going to have to keep an eye on for the next, 70 days?
Yeah.
We're going to have to keep an eye up on how fast his pen flies.
That's right. And this is where Paul Ryan and the rest of them, oh, God, Paul Ryan, wait a minute, speaking of which, Paul Ryan came out and he was just saying how proud he was of Donald Trump and how he ran such a good race and, you know, the American people have spoken again. I said, you know, and
he's still losing his job.
Oh, God, yeah. You know, he's trying real hard, by the way. Yeah, he's trying to butter up to Donald Trump today. Big time, okay? Big, big time, all right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't think it's going to work with Donald. Donald will probably say, hey, listen, you know, Paulie boy, just pat him on the head and say, go sit in the corner and empty out your office.
Yeah, here's this nice pointy hat. Sit on that stool over there.
Exactly. So, you know, so Paul Ryan, if he wants to make some real points, gather all those Republicans around and do your job.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Do your job in Obama's remaining days.
Wouldn't be in this fix if they had done it all this time.
Exactly. Exactly.
And I was actually pleasantly surprised because a lot of my opinions have changed on Ryan Priebus.
And yeah, when he really phone, stuck by Donald the whole time.
He turned out to be a stand-up guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
he stuck by him.
I was really, really pleased. And then he made him get up on the podium and, you know, say something. And he didn't go crazy. He just said, you know, the ex-president, you know, Mr. President-elect or whatever he said. And then, you know, he walked over and they, you know,
a fist bump.
You know, a bro hug or whatever you want to call it.
It was great. It was nice. And I thought that was really nice of Donald Trump. But then Donald Trump is a man who just doesn't take all the credit for himself. He's never been that way. If you do a good job, he has always rewarded you if you work under him.
I like the way Pence handled it on the way in.
Yeah.
Because I was very curious. I was not unhappy with Pence, but I was a little concerned because, as you said, he brought gravitas. But as I said, he also brought controversy.
A little bit, yes.
And I think his experience with that particular controversy, and I'm talking about the Religious Freedom Act,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's going to turn out to be a player. Because all these quote-unquote self-identified marginalized groups keep talking about how they want equal rights, equal rights, equal rights, equal rights. No, they don't. They want special rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's what they want. Yep. Because they already have equal rights. They already, under the law, they already have equal rights.
I mean, who doesn't have equal rights in this country? We don't have slaves.
That's right. No. We are not slaves. They,
you know, women aren't. Women aren't chattel slavery.
That's right.
You know, we don't have Sharia law. You know, everybody in this country has the same doggo. You get over 18 years old, or 21, I guess, depending on what the right is.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got the same rights as I've got, and they've got the same rights as you've got, and back and forth and forth and back. The issue isn't equal rights. Actually, no, the issue is equal rights. No special rights. That's what we want. Mm-hmm. No special rights.
That's right.
And now they're all, oh, we're afraid.
We're afraid. It's like, oh, what are you afraid of? We're not going to do anything. There's no pitchforks and, you know, coming at you now.
Well, that's it. Look, it's the whole thing, and over and over and over. It's always been the issue, you know, 15 bakeries on the high street in your town, you go to the one, they won't make you a gay wedding cake, and so you call the whatever ACLU or whoever. You know, instead of going 50 feet down and across the street and ordering a wedding cake there.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. No big deal. Why do you have to sue them?
So if you're gay and you're going down Main Avenue in Paterson, New Jersey, and you walk into a Muslim bakery and you ask them to make you a gay wedding cake, they're going to say no. What do you do?
That's right.
Now what do you do? Oh, no, they're a protected class, too.
That's right.
See, this is it.
See, they would never do that, though.
All this crap.
Never do that.
All this crap.
It's got to stop.
It's got to stop. And I like it. You said there's no torches and pitchforks. Well, they were out in Oakland last night.
Yeah, well, you know what? If they want to destroy their own area, that's fine. I'm not going to clean it up. Look, let me tell you something. Any people that are gay out there, you are demanding that I not only acknowledge the fact that you're gay, but you are demanding that I say, oh, I agree with it. Oh, this is wonderful. You want me to stand on the top of the Empire State Building and scream out, oh, it's wonderful to be gay. And no, you're not going to get that from me. I may not agree with your lifestyle, but you know what? I don't care.
I don't care. It's none of my business.
I don't care. It is none of my business what you do in the privacy of your own home. So, you know, I'm not the one you have to be afraid of.
I don't walk up to people and say, hey, I'm Lou and I'm straight.
That's right. You know, I don't care if you are gay, go ahead. God bless, okay? I don't care. But don't tell me that I not only have to accept it, but I have to proclaim that I accept it. Not happening. So,
well, and especially considering if they were in what's the name of that building they've been building in Saudi Arabia, and it's like 4 million miles high or something.
Oh,
such
I
thing.
Don't remember. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know what? If you want to have such a problem with the fact that you can't, you know, you get, you know, marginalized because you're gay, go over there, go up to the top of that building and say, yes, I'm gay and I'm proud, because somebody's going to stand behind you and kick you off.
That's true. They are going to be pushed off. Yeah, seriously. I mean, I'm not the one you have to be afraid of. I really am not.
I am not the one you have to be afraid of.
No.
I don't stand for anything that you have to be afraid of.
No. I just
you know, unless you're a terrorist.
Pushing. Yes, but the thing is that what happens is they start pushing their lifestyle at me and saying, you have to acknowledge your acceptance. You have to accept it. You have to be loud and proud about it. I was like, no, leave me alone. This is none of my business to begin with.
No, wait. No, it gets worse.
What?
It gets worse. Because here's the thing. You can't teach Catholic dogma.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You know, even Bible as history courses. But they get fourth graders out there on prayer rugs in public school.
I know. They have people. They have these kids saying the whatever the heck that is. It's a prayer which acknowledges the five
Yeah.
Five levels of
but whatever.
And I'm just, oh my God.
You can't teach, you know, family education,
that's
but
right.
You can teach LGBTQ acceptance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, speaking about that, funny thing happened. At my little polling place, guy comes up, and I said, okay, name, and he goes, and gave me his last name, and he shows me. I said, can I see your voter ID? And I said, the only person I have with your name here, I said, I'm sorry. And the address was the right thing. I mentioned a female name. And he looks, well, yeah, I changed my name. I said, I'm sorry? He said, I changed my name. He goes, and actually my address isn't changed. I said, okay. I said, well... So he had to go over, but it was a person who used to be a girl who is now a guy.
Oh, a Chaz Bono kind of arrangement.
Yeah, that's basically it. I nearly fell off my chair. But
good for him.
But guess what? As soon as I wrapped my brain about exactly around what he was telling me, and I just said, oh, okay, fine. Well, we can rectify it in this way, you know. And I was like, wow. But I wasn't mean to him. I didn't.
Why would you be? You're not a mean person.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, just because she underwent a sex change. I wasn't mean to him.
They prefer to be called the pronoun that they present as. And if he presents as a guy, he prefers to be called him.
Him. Okay, that's fine. But I wasn't going to be mean. But the thing is that they expect this. They expect me to be mean to them. You know, they say, oh, you're going to be mean to me. I'm like, no, I'm not. I don't care. But they get angry if I'm not mean to them because
I'm not fitting the narrative.
Mid-20s.
Oh, that's unusual. Okay. All right.
That is unusual. Yeah.
No, only because, listen, and I believe this wholeheartedly, and only because, as I said, I've got a finger on the pardon me. Ooh, goodness. Finger on the pulse of a lot of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't believe for a minute
mm-hmm.
that the gay community at large,
mm-hmm.
well, they might vote for Hillary. I don't believe that they're the kind of people that walk in and say, well, I need a gay wedding cake. And the guy says no. And they say, oh, okay. And they go across the street and they get one there. You know, I knew a DJ down in the metro area where mm-hmm. we're from mm-hmm. Who does not do gay weddings.
Okay.
And he has turned people down, you know, and they've said, oh, okay. You know, because in that particular neighborhood, and it's if I put the compass point in your
mm-hmm.
old house
mm-hmm.
and drew an arc, you know, 20 miles wide,
mm-hmm.
must have been 50 of them.
Mm. Oh, okay. Yeah.
You know,
so
and,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, call the other ones. And they do. One guy came in and made a fuss.
Mm.
And, you know, the DJ said, look, there's 49 other DJs. Pick one of them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and that kind of, I don't believe that the average gay person,
mm-hmm.
lesbian person, whatever, you know, whatever mm-hmm. initial you choose to put in front of, you know, your name,
mm-hmm.
I don't believe that they're like that. And I believe the same thing about the trans community. I don't mm-hmm. believe, you know, that if you're notably the one that comes right to mind is Blair White,
mm-hmm.
and she's an anti-feminist. And I don't believe for a second that if she walked up to you at the voting place, because her driver's license and stuff all says female,
mm-hmm.
that you'd say to her, oh, you're not a female. No, why? Because you're not a mean person. You don't have any reason. She's gorgeous, let me
tell
you.
Well, plus the fact, in reality,
you know,
it is none of my business. As long as all the information matches and she has a voter ID or license that goes the name
yep.
to the face to
what
the
do
name.
You care?
Bingo, here you are. Thank you very much.
Here's your ballot.
Here's your
have
ballot.
A nice day.
Yep. Hey.
Put your sticker on the way out.
Yep. Exactly.
You know.
Hey, listen, Media Research Center wrote an article on, it's by Brittany M. Hughes, and her title is Trump Won and the Liberal Media Lost Their Minds. And what she does is she lists some of the headlines some of the liberal media have.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I got to read some of these.
Yeah, read some of them.
Huffington Post homepage screamed, "Mourning in America," as in OU. Are not, you know, mourning. Nightmare.
Right.
Prez Trump. America elected a man who said grab them by the PU,
mm-hmm.
you know, over the first female president. Party ends in tears. That's one. Listen to this. Slate magazine said white won. Trump promised an insurgent white supremacy and white voters embraced it. Salon.
I don't remember hearing that.
Salon featured a front page article called "A Nation Gone Wrong," claiming that Trump's victory comes as a global wave of rage hits America and grappling with deep questions like how the hell this happened. The Daily Beast immediately promised to stand up to President Trump in the coming years, seemingly unaware that half the country voted the man into office. And Jezebel, I am not familiar with this publication, but it said it complained.
I think I followed a link to an article on there once or twice. Go ahead.
Okay. Jezebel complained in its own editorial that the United States has elected Donald Trump, a 70-year-old tangerine superfund site, and a menace to the peace, stability, and dignity of the country, the future of the free world, as its commander-in-chief.
Well, that's funny considering that even the Green Party nominee said that Hillary Clinton was a mushroom cloud waiting to grow.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I find these very, very amusing, to tell you.
I got to tell you, I saw a video this morning early. I had it on the computer on, and I was researching other stuff. And there was a video, and I'm trying to remember who it was by. Not that it matters. I don't want to promote him,
mm-hmm.
but he was actually very nasty.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About, you know, I'm obviously a Trump supporter. But he was being very nasty because he pointed his vidcam at his television and was showing the crowd at the Hillary gathering last night. And there's people on the ground rolling back and forth, and there's one sitting there on the floor sucking her thumb, rocking back and forth.
Wait a minute. Excuse me?
Yeah. No,
seriously?
Yeah, seriously. And they're all crying and stuff. And he was making a haystack out of it. You know, I mean, he was really having a nice time with it. I thought that was wrong. But
why? If you're an adult, what the hell are you doing sitting in the corner with your thumb in your mouth? Come on.
Well, maybe they didn't allow for a safe space, you know, so they just collapsed where they were. But,
no.
You know, the fact is that he was showing these people and their reaction to John Podesta coming out and saying, you know, we fought the good fight, we ran a good run, you know, keep on keeping on, and all this other stuff that he was saying, you know, all the platitudes that he could come up with. And these people were reacting very badly, you know, although I can't imagine that some people wouldn't have been in tears had, you know, Donald Trump lost. I don't think they'd be sitting in the corner rocking with sucking their thumb, you know, with their green hair and their, you know, nose ring and their, you know, tattoos down their neck. But, you know, he was making far too much fun of it. But the thing is, that's exactly what happened. That's the reaction that happened.
But that's what happened.
That's what happened.
Right.
And what got me was the fact that Podesta's up there and he's addressing this quote-unquote crowd. And there weren't as many people as there were in one row at Trump's party.
There you go.
People say, how could this happen? And I heard it described as, what did they call it? The hidden majority or the masked majority? You know,
really?
The people that did not get polled.
Yeah, or the people that, that ignored the polls, like me. I would get six calls a day. I didn't answer.
Well, I got a couple, too, but I didn't answer it only because, you know, actually, I think there were probably robocalls because by the time I can roll in here.
Yeah, a lot of them are.
By the time I could roll in here, I couldn't quite get to it. But so I assume because no message was left that it was a robocall. But, you know, this kind of reaction, I have to think, you know, there's got to be something. There's got to be something. And this is it. It dawned on me. There is something.
What?
It's 8 years or more of everybody gets a trophy. It's eight years of entitled or pseudo entitlement because they're not actually entitled to anything,
but they
act like they are.
That's right.
And, you know, this is it. This is it. These people are just expecting stick their hand out and somebody will put something in it.
That's right. Nope. You're exactly right.
And
that's
at this
what
point,
this has been.
At this point, they are going to stick something in it. A shovel or a broom or a rake. And that's how it's going to play. You know, there was a famous, infamous video of this young girl, 20-something years old, who said, I don't want a job. I don't want to work. I want my welfare.
Really?
I'm an artist. I'm a sculptor and a painter, and I you know,
that's
I'm
my
a musician,
career, yeah.
You know, and all this other stuff, and I don't want a work, you know, and the only place I would consider working is Hot Topic, and I'm banned from there. you know, and I just don't have time to deal with customers and stuff. I have too much to do during my day. You know, and it's like, how could you do that? Well, you know something, sweetheart? Guess who's going out for a job? When he said we are going to bring our infrastructure back world class, I don't doubt him for a second.
Nope, neither do I. He's probably already making plans now. Seriously, I think he's going to hit the ground running.
You know what? I want to see. I want to see Rudy as Attorney General. Would be great. He's got Supreme Court nominees. He's got to come up with.
Well, he already has a list of those.
I'm sure he does. I'd like to see Judge Jeanine Pirro on the Supreme Court.
I don't know.
Hell,
if that's going
to happen. I'd like to see Judge Judy on the Supreme Court.
you know the. He said that he, you know, one of his first things, he's want to get rid of Obamacare. And I'll tell you, the Republicans better play ball with him on this. Really, they better play ball.
Yeah, because you know something? They were all elected in the last midterm saying they were going to get rid of it.
That's right. So guess what? Now you have the presidency. And you have a president here who will gladly sign the bill that gets rid of Obamacare. So get off your collective tuchus and do your job.
Oh, that and, you know, come up with something. That's the other factor. Come up with something.
They're not going to come up with it. Trump has already come up with it. He wants to take away the restrictions on, getting insurance in other states, over the borders.
So you mean things will happen like some of the states that now only have one insurance carrier, or some states that have insurance carrier, are now going to have three or four choices?
Yep. That'd be nice. That would be nice.
Right. And term limits?
Oh, that would be fantastic.
I would like to see term limits, although, be honest with you, I really don't want to see Trey Gowdy leave the House.
Well, he can run for the Senate.
Yeah, that's true. You know, but Jason Chaffetz and Trey Gowdy, I'd like to see them stay, until they're term limited out and then run for the Senate.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because that's just the kind of guy I am, evil son of a bitch that I am.
Hey.
But, look, we've got so many things that Secretary of Defense, Alan West.
I would love to see him. Definitely.
Secretary of State, John Bolton.
Well, I would like to see John Bolton, but it looks like Newt Gingrich is probably going to be
SOS, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll
see.
Well, okay.
I think what we should do in the meantime is revel in the victory and, and just take a moment to kind of decompress or whatever the term is. And
I feel like 10 tons of weight is off of my shoulders.
Yeah, me too, actually. I and also two other good things. I'm not getting these damn calls. I'm not getting these blasted emails. And I'm not seeing all these ads on the TV and hearing them on the radio. So,
good.
Yeah. So, it's all good. Yeah. It's all
like you said, decompress. It's over. And we can revel in the victory and,
yes.
And relax a little bit, get a glass of wine, and without the H.
Exactly, because we were doing too much of that.
Right now. Too many people out there right now with the H on it.
Yeah.
And I think that's I think you're right. I think we're going to have at this point, I think we're doing fine.
Yep.
I think we're doing fine.
So what do you think, Lou? I think we should wrap this one up. It's another one for the books.
Yes, indeed. Put another one in.
It is.
Put another one in the kettle or what have you, so to speak, in the can, and we go from there. Because let me just tell you, you got a closing remark or what?
I don't know. I just say, listen, folks, let's just enjoy the victory. Those who feel that they're going to be attacked, you're not going to be attacked.
Right. We said it over and over and over.
We said it over and over again. But we are going to bring law and order back. And if law and order is not your cup of tea, you're more than welcome to leave. Because America does not restrict your movements here. If you want to leave, you can. I am so proud of Mr. Trump, his staff, the campaign, all the people throughout this country who really, really worked very, very hard. I really am. And we all pulled together as Americans. Mr. Trump had such a fantastic message. And he had his fingers on the pulse of America. He really did.
And everybody who was going on and on and on, about how, he doesn't look very presidential. Boy, they didn't watch him last night.
No, they did not. Obviously, they did not. And even, I think they will be surprised. I'm hoping some will be pleasantly surprised, but I think they will be surprised. And God bless him now, really.
Yeah, I take my cue from, I'm trying to remember who said it. Don't gloat. Don't gloat. I don't want to gloat. I don't have time. We got too much to do. We've been afforded this fantastic opportunity. We have to take it and go forward with it. So don't gloat. You know what? In 5 years, gloat.
Right. When things have been accomplished.
Then you gloat.
Yep.
Until then, the only thing I can think of is we've been blessed last night. May God continue to bless the United States of America.
Samson, speak. Good boy.